Please rise for the Holy Gospel. Gospel according to St. John, the 15th and 16th chapters. Jesus said, "When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me, and you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. I did not say these things to you from the beginning, because I was with you. Now I am going to him who sent me. And none of you asks me, 'Where are you going?' But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority. But whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you." This is the Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today is the Feast of Pentecost, a celebration of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Some have described it as the Church's grand opening. That captures what happened on that first Pentecost fairly well. When the day started, there were about 120 believers all told. At day's end, more than 3,000. Our text makes it clear that in addition, today is a celebration of our Savior keeping his promise. The Holy Spirit didn't just happen to come to the apostles on that first Pentecost. Once again, the last time for a while, our text takes us to the upper room on Holy Thursday after Jesus had instituted the supper. The disciples were filled with sorrow. Jesus had told them that he was leaving, and that where he was going, they could not come. The disciples were overwhelmed by everything Jesus had said that night about being betrayed and their abandoning him, but also by his deep and profound teaching. Because they were incapable of grasping everything, he promised to send them a helper, or counselor, or comforter, depending on which translation you're using.
The Greek word Jesus used here is paraclete, which carries all of these meanings at once: helper, counselor, comforter, and perhaps a few more as well. It's impossible to translate paraclete adequately with just one single English word. But if the word is a challenge to translate, Jesus leaves no doubt about what the Spirit of truth whom he would send would do. He says clearly, "He will bear witness about me." The Spirit's job, the Spirit's desire and privilege is to testify concerning Jesus. There's an important point we need to consider here. Throughout the history of the church, there have been people who have come up with new ideas, things not taught in scriptures. Often these people have justified their new ideas on the basis of Jesus' words in our text. "This is a new move of the Holy Spirit," they say. Remember what Jesus said on the night he was betrayed. "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now." That's why he didn't say it back then. Didn't say what we're telling you now. His disciples weren't able to bear it, but we are able, so the Spirit's guiding us into new things. I'd like you to consider carefully. Does our text support such an interpretation? Wasn't Jesus talking to his disciples when he said, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now? So I will send you the Spirit of truth"? And didn't he fulfill his promise to give them his Spirit? First on Easter evening, when he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And then again 50 days later, on Pentecost, when empowered by the Spirit, the apostles testified boldly concerning Jesus, crucified, risen, and in whose name there is forgiveness of sins. Isn't it difficult to accept that what Jesus is talking about here in our text wasn't for his disciples at all, but only for believers 15 or 20 centuries later? Even more importantly, though, what was it to which the Spirit of truth would testify? And where would he get his information? Jesus says, "He will bear witness about me," and "He will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said, he will take what is mine and declare it to you." Jesus says that he will be the subject of the Spirit's testimony. What the Spirit declares is Jesus. It's for good reason that St. John would later write, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world." The test is whether the Spirit testifies to Jesus, the Christ of the apostolic scriptures, the Jesus who was crucified for your trespasses and then raised again for your justification. If a spirit doesn't bear witness to that Jesus, that spirit is not the Spirit of truth. Which means, of course, that such a spirit is a lying spirit, that his message is not from God at all, but from the devil, the father of lies. Yet the fact that Jesus was fulfilling his promises concerning the Holy Spirit, beginning already on the first Easter, is not to say that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, is not active and working according to Jesus' promise still today. Jesus assures his disciples that he would send them the Spirit, and he did. But he also said, when the Helper comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. The Spirit, Jesus said, would bring to mind everything that he had taught and would guide the apostles into the truth that they couldn't bear that night. But he also had a mission to the whole world, a mission to convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. How would the Spirit go about doing this? In his sermon on Pentecost, the beginning of which we heard this morning, having shown that the Old Testament scriptures had been fulfilled in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, Peter concluded, "Let all the house of Israel know, therefore, for certain, that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." Luke reports that when the crowd heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" On Pentecost, through the preaching of God's word, the Holy Spirit convicted the crowd concerning their sin in not believing in Jesus. And he does this still today in the very same way, through the proclamation of the Holy Scriptures, which declare, "All have turned aside. No one does good, not even one. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like filthy rags. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Still today, through God's word, the Holy Spirit shows you that you are a sinner who deserves God's punishment both in this life and in eternity. But thankfully, this isn't the only thing the Spirit does in the world. He also convicts the world concerning righteousness. God is righteous. Everything he does is perfect, and his greatest work of righteousness was establishing righteousness for sinners through Jesus going to the Father, that is, through Jesus' suffering, death, resurrection, and ascension. When you believe in Jesus, that is when, by the Spirit's work, you are convinced that Jesus has paid the full price for your sin, and you are declared righteous before God. This is what happened to those 3,000 or so souls on Pentecost. They heard the apostles' word, were led to believe what had been proclaimed to them, were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and received as a gift, the Holy Spirit. In baptism, you were buried with Christ in his death, so that in him, you too might rise and live a new life. In baptism, you were clothed with the robe of Christ's perfect righteousness, a righteousness that's renewed each day, as you remember the apostolic testimony that he saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness. But according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. In addition to convicting the world concerning sin and righteousness, the Helper, the Spirit of Truth, also convicts the world of judgment. Through the Word, he teaches us, as Luther phrased us, this world's prince is judged. The deed is done. The accuser has been thrown down. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. What happened on Pentecost, when the Spirit, working through God's word proclaimed by the apostles, brought conviction concerning sin and righteousness and judgment to about 3,000 souls, has continued ever since then. It was evidenced this morning as you first confessed your abject sinfulness, but then dared to trust the declaration of full and free forgiveness, which, at Christ's command and with his authority, I spoke to you. Still today, through the word, Jesus is fulfilling his promise. He is sending the Spirit of Truth to bring sinners to faith, to confirm believers in his word, and to preserve them as his own until he calls them to himself. It's by the Holy Spirit working through God's word that you are not as dead as dry bones, bleached white in the sun, but rather have life, life in Christ. The Lord preserve and sustain you, body and soul, by his word and spirit in the true faith, until that day when faith gives way to sight in the day of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting. Amen.